Programs, views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. It's good to be with you today. What a beautiful day. It started out a little cool this morning, but I'll tell you, it's just really turned out to be a nice day here in northeastern Ohio, and hope you're able to get out and enjoy some of this. And certainly the weekend looks like it's going to be pretty good. I had to pinch myself, see if I'm really awake here. You know, two weekends in a row in northeast Ohio that the sun's shining and it's not pouring down rain. Trust you had a good Memorial Day celebration this past week. The weekend was great. Memorial Day was a beautiful day. Rain held off until after Memorial Day, and certainly plants need a little bit of rain. And hopefully I'll be able to get my lawn finished here now that the rain's held off a little bit too. But again, welcome to the program. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Our telephone line is open. You can give us a call toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 is the toll-free number. And every once in a while, somebody wants to figure out how to get on with just the local number, and that's 216-901-0933. But anybody can call the toll-free number 888-677-9673. If you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you today. Let's go ahead and open with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Help us to be a witness and a testimony to others of your grace and your saving grace, Lord. We just pray, Father, we could be a help to an encouragement to people that are listening today and point them to Christ and help them to have confidence that they can believe in the Bible as your word, and that it's truth and that it can guide them in this confusing day in which we live. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about whatever you have question about, obviously, and got a couple things I'd like to mention as well here today, and so we'll see how things go, but we'll be here till 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word, and hope you'll be able to stick with us. And starting the program, I had a passage that we talked about at church not too awfully long ago, and it's kind of interesting passage when you look at it. And we thought, you know, if they could adopt this, if they could adopt this question or this passage in our law, boy, would it straighten out the legal system that we have today. And let me just read this passage, and I think you can figure it out pretty easily. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 19, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15, the Bible says, or I'm sorry, in verse 16, the Bible says, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men, by whom the controversy is, shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he thought to have done to unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. Now how about that? Then it says, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. Now, could you imagine if people who file frivolous lawsuits try and get $1 million out of somebody because they stubbed their toe and broke their toenail, they try to get a frivolous judgment against somebody. Could you imagine if that person was found to be a false witness in the court, found to have a frivolous case and everything, they had to pay $1 million to the person they were trying to sue? I think it would clear up a lot of the court dockets in this country, don't you think? But at any rate, We are going to take your calls today, 888-677-9673. And we have a caller calling in, and forgive me if I pronounce the name incorrectly. I believe it's Cepeda.
It's Cepeda.
Cepeda. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, glad to have you on the program here this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
And what's your question for us here today?
Well, I wanted to know, can you sum up like the 144,000 that the Jehovah's Witness claim that's only going to be granted heavenly life, and one outside 144,000 will be like just left behind?
Okay. Yeah, that is an interesting question. And what's kind of interesting with this is when my wife and I were missionaries down in the Samoan Islands back in the 1990s, I actually was asked by some Jehovah's Witnesses to meet with them and actually to talk about this very question about the 144,000. And as with everything, the Bible has to be our guide, our source of information. If you recall, Paul commended the believers in Berea. He said they were nobler than those in Thessalonica, and the reason was because they searched the Scriptures whether the things that he told them were so or not. And so in Revelation chapter 7 is where we get the 144,000, I think, for the first time. And and it says in chapter 7, Revelation 7, verse 4, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. But notice what it says, "of all the tribes of the children of Israel." And the next several verses, verses 5 through 8, lists the 12 tribes of Israel and says, "Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. And so it goes through the 12 tribes, each one 12,000. That's the 12,000. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe what the Bible teaches here. And let me go to the second one where we can further identify them, Revelation chapter 14, okay?
Correct.
Verse number 1. It says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's names written on their foreheads." And so here we have the 144,000 mentioned again. And as it comes down to verse 3, it says, "And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, that no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." And then it continues to describe them. Now, I think the Jehovah's Witnesses use that to say that only the 144,000 get to go to heaven.
Right.
And and they teach that they're men and women, okay? And
right.
And they believe that they're already picked out. They're already there. And I'm going to bounce back and forth between chapter 7 and chapter 14 here in Revelation. But notice what the next verse in chapter 14, verse 4 says about these 144,000. And keep in mind, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that they're men and women. It says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb."
Correct.
Right. Correct. So these are men. They're all men.
Right.
Exactly. There are no women in this group. And chapter 7 specifically said that they were Jews. 12,000 out of every tribe. Now, and chapter 7 also shows us that these are not the only ones that are going to be in heaven.
Right.
Because as you read in chapter 7 again, going back to chapter 7, Revelation 7, verse 9, after he sees the four, or the 144,000, it says in verse 9, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations." Now, that's not just Jews. "And kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And then a little further down in verse 13, it says, "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him in verse 14, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, or said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so we see that in addition to the 144,000, there's a great multitude, an uncounted, not accountable number of right. people. And these are people who come to Christ during the tribulation period.
Right, from all nations.
Right, correct. And right. so the 144,000 have not been called out yet because we're looking at events during the tribulation. And that's when the 144,000 Jewish men will embrace Christ as their Messiah, and they'll be preaching the gospel. And I think part of the result is that a great number of people are going to come to Christ during the tribulation period, and they are going to be in heaven. Now, prior to this, others are already in heaven. And that's us. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right. your sins are forgiven, and the Holy right. Spirit is dwelling in your heart, you're sealed until right. the day of redemption. And right. When Jesus catches the believers up into heaven prior to the tribulation, all believers will ascend into heaven, and right. we will be there already. Right. So that's a vast number, as well right. as the Old Testament saints. So there's a lot more than 144,000 right. that are going to be in heaven.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you taking my call, and I know you have to go, but I just want to leave you with this. And how this came about mm-hmm. is I had visited a memorial, and, you know, when the communion came around, you know, I accepted.
Right.
So I really couldn't understand why nobody accepted, and then that's where this came out, you know, like mm-hmm. a friend of mine. You know, we got into a little debate, but I just feel like when it comes to religion, I don't feel like we should never get upset because my point may be different than yours, because I don't feel like that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I just went on like what my belief was, and I was sitting there, it's no way that I can just pass the wine past me, and I feel like if Jesus Christ gave his life for me, that I'm going to do this in remembrance of him, and I did. So after the memorial, I asked my friend why did nobody partake in it. So then he was like trying to explain 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we had a good discussion. So I just wanted to know your views on it. And just this little bit of time, what you share with me and you are kind of leaning the same way. So
right.
I just wanted to tell you, you know, thank you for your time, and may God bless you, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the call there. And when you're talking about that, I've heard that before, and it was nice to hear somebody else say that again about when at a Jehovah's Witnesses where they do that, they don't partake. They just pass the elements of the around, and nobody partakes because only 144,000 are allowed to. I had told somebody in the Samoan Islands that that's what they do, and they actually went to one. They were surprised. They said, yeah, that's what they did. And I always wondered what would happen if somebody took some of it.
So, oh, yeah, I did.
I appreciate that.
I guess I did know better, but I did know better.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for your call. Appreciate that. And again, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And like Isaiah said, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, is because there's no light in them. And so when you see the Jehovah's Witnesses or other groups, and you compare what they teach with the Word of God, if it don't agree with the Word, well, the Word says there's no light in them. So we can compare these things to the Word of God. It's kind of interesting. Jehovah's Witnesses really have a lot of kind of odd sort of beliefs of the future, and they've changed them frequently. They used to have a mansion out in California, I think. I think they got rid of it finally, as they believe that Jesus was going to live there when he came back in the 1970s. And they got rid of that and then taught we never taught that in the first place. But so we need to go to the law and to the testimony. And, well, we got our phone calls lighting up here today, and it looks like we've got Mark calling in. And, Mark, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, how you doing, Pastor Al?
Good to have you today.
Yes, I was just listening to your
your program, and I know you were talking concerning Jehovah's Witness, and what little I do know about them, I know it's not that exactly positive. You know, I don't believe what they believe. I think their thoughts are totally twisted as far as...
Right. Well, the big thing is they reject the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh. They believe he's Michael the Archangel. They don't want to tell you that right away, but that's what they believe.
Okay, okay. Well, see, that's where we're going to have a problem, because John 1, verses 1 through 14, says something totally different from that, because, like I said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. So
right.
We sit up here, and the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. That's talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
So when they sit up in here and say foolish things of this nature, you know, I can, you know, talk with these peoples or what have you, but like I said, they're so twisted in what they believe, you know, until, you know, that's why when I enjoy when I read the Word of God.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Coming from the King James Version, basically explaining and letting you know what the situation is. And I know God's Word is right on point.
That's exactly right.
People need to be aware of Jehovah's Witness or whatever. And I encourage anybody, you know, start studying and reading your Word or whatever, because when they start talking that nonsense, and we know that it's not biblical in the things that they're saying, because God is eternal. Jesus Christ is not like you or me. We were created. We have parents. We come from this. God was here the whole time. And I know it's a very hard concept for people who have a limited biblical education as far as that is concerned. But for somebody who loves the Lord such as myself and understands that, you know, I can see where it can blow somebody's mind that does not understand that concept. But somebody who's truly saved, it's a very soothing feeling.
Right.
Jesus is eternal. He is not like they proclaim to be, just like the Catholics, they say, well, Jesus Christ is mother, or they talk about the queen. I said, where are you getting this from? That's not in the scripture. There is no queen. There's only one king. That's King Jesus.
Right. He had no father. He had no mother. In the sense of you and I have a father and a mother. He was not produced in that fashion. And let me give you something here. We were talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, and you brought up John chapter 1. And they changed this passage in their New World Translation. They changed it to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was A. They put the little word A in there, and then they changed God to a little g instead of capital G. And I have a book somewhere, and I lost it in moving back from the Samoan Islands. One of these days, maybe I'll find it again, or I'll find it somewhere in a box somewhere. But the guy that sat on their translation committee, by his own testimony, he came to Christ, and he's left the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, and he's a born-again believer. He believes Jesus is God now. And he said their sole justification for changing that reading to the word was a little g God was a German translation by a defrocked Roman Catholic priest by the name of Johann Gerber, who, by his own testimony, got that translation of that a little g God from channeling a demon. That was his own testimony. And he said that's what we used, because he was on the committee that put together New World Translation. He said that's what we used to justify that change. Hey, appreciate your call. I got a couple more callers calling in.
Well, I appreciate that.
Hey, yeah, that's a great thing, and I appreciate that about that. We seem to got onto the Jehovah's Witnesses here today, but anybody that rejects Christ, Jesus is described as the first begotten, but he's the first begotten of the dead, and that refers to the resurrection, not a creation, and he is the eternal God manifest in the flesh. I appreciate that. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy in Euclid calling in. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. I just wanted to get your take on, I was very blessed to see, I don't think he's a pastor, but Rocco Morelli. He was a Teamster, not Teamster, Mafia Mob boss 27 years ago, and he came to Christ. He's been going all around the world preaching the gospel. But the problem I have with him is he gives a really good testimony about it. He came to Christ, and he was, you know, fourth generation mafia, you know, guy. But then he believes that he's a Pentecostal, and he believes that all your sicknesses can be healed. And when I went to see him, he said, and all your sicknesses can be healed. And he says it over and over, and he says, can you say all? And everybody says all.
Mm-hmm.
But how in the world can any church truly believe that all your sickness can be healed? Because all these people go forward, they're not healed. I mean, I don't know.
Let me give you let me give you the passage there, because we've got I got one more caller, and I'm running out of time here. As my understanding, they get that from Isaiah chapter 53. I'll give you their justification of it. It says in verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was buried or bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And now that's obviously referring to spiritual healing, healed from our sin through what Christ went through on the cross. But they say that means also physical healing.
Oh.
And it's amazing. I've actually had Pentecostals call our Sunday night program and talk about how they believe that, and then turn around and ask for prayer for somebody who's got high blood pressure or something like that. And if that's the case, why would somebody who's born again ever die physically? And the problem is, when we get saved, our soul and our spirit, there's a change that takes place. Our spirit's made alive. But our body is not changed at that time. The body still has a sin nature. It still ages. It still is prone to sickness. It still ages and dies.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they were correct, you would get all of your physical healing at the same time you get all your spiritual healing. The moment of salvation, you'd be cleansed from all illness as well. Obviously, logic doesn't agree with them. The scriptures don't agree with them, and they don't even believe it themselves, because why would somebody call and say, pray for this person, he's a good Christian, and believe that they're not supposed to be sick, and yet never seem to get over their diabetes, their high blood pressure, their congestive heart failure, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, don't they imply that if you have enough faith, you will be healed?
Oh, yeah. And let me leave you with this one here so I can get our last caller in here. My wife and I in Samoa, one of the saddest things we saw was a woman sitting in the lobby where her husband was dying in the ICU, and her pastor of a Foursquare Gospel Church pastor told her the reason he was dying was she didn't have enough faith for him to be healed. She was just devastated. I need to let you go there so I can get our last caller in here, but appreciate that caller, Nancy. Call back again next week. And Pastor Grover's on the line. Grover, welcome.
Now remember this part, okay? The meek shall inherit the earth, okay?
Amen. Amen.
Okay,
appreciate that.
I've had this question asked to me. The disciples asked if you've been married so many times. I'll take for the husband would say, who's going to be my wife? He says, there's no marriage in heaven. But here, the meek shall inherit the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are going to be the people coming down and go be on earth, getting married and having kids?
Well, and
I've heard that the ones that come through the tribulation, they're going to be asleep for a while.
Well, let me deal with that. The music's going. We're going to run out of time here in just a few seconds. And let me touch that real quick. The ones who are going to have children are the ones who live through the tribulation, come to Christ as their Savior, but they're not killed during the tribulation. They'll enter into the millennial kingdom of Christ in a condition like you and I are today.
Here's what I told them. I said, the one that goes through the tribulation,
right?
Them that didn't take the mark of the beast, and the one that dies during the 1,000-year millennium. Was that right?
I think you're pretty close there, because the people that inherit or come into the earth, I'm sorry, into the millennial kingdom, Yeah, they'll have a body like we have today, and they'll have children. Okay. Those children will have to come to Christ at that time. Hey, out of time. Thanks for the call. It's been a busy afternoon. God bless. Join us again next time. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those